You know, Donnie was talking about the revival in Asbury. It's like amazing what's happening. And I feel really blessed because I'm old enough to have been part of the charismatic renewal, the Jesus Freak movement, and then the Brownsville revival, and to have been witness to all of that. During the Jesus movement, I was in a traditional church, and me being me who I am, I made sure that I invited all of the long-haired hippies to church so the old ladies would be shocked. It was not in the right intention. Nevertheless, some of them got saved. But what I'm going to talk about this morning is about prayer. Does God hear your prayer? Are your prayers forgotten? Do you ever feel like you pray and it doesn't get answered? Do you ever feel like your prayer is not important to God? There's a lot of different types of prayer. For example, there are prayers of adoration, prayers of worship, prayers of intercession, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise, prayers of supplication, prayer in tongues, spiritual warfare, prophetic prayers, prayers of confession, prayers of repentance, prayers of blessing. This is just some. There are more. But you know what? Just this bunch right here will keep us busy enough to pray without ceasing, like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Prayer should not be something on our to-do list, like, oh, we got to pray, and I'm guilty. But, you know, really, it should be about who we are. It should be on that list of this is who I am. I pray. I pray without ceasing. We get to talk to the one who is holding the universe in his hand, the one who created everything, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. We have the honor and the privilege of praying to God, the Father. Jesus made that way through the cross that we could come boldly before the throne. And you know, God wants to communicate with us daily, 24/7. The scripture that I'm going to talk about is Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8. If you can pull that up. And everybody read it. Let's read it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It says, be anxious for nothing. Nothing is just that, nothing. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us, don't worry about life. He says, you guys, you seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things are going to be added onto you. He says, don't worry, don't be anxious about tomorrow, because it's going to take care of itself. When we're anxious and we worry, we are actually not believing that God can look after the practical things of life. Because this scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Jesus says in Matthew 13 that the cares of this world are what will choke out the gospel. That will, if that's in our heart, that's going to choke out the word. We've had some awesome teachings here lately on worship. And worry cannot, and the fact is, worship and worry cannot live together. It just is impossible. So what do we do when we're tempted to worry? When we're overwhelmed and we're anxious with the problems of life, we're anxious and we're frustrated with situations that we have no control over. We all deal with this stuff daily. Every Sunday, people come up for prayer in this church and in churches all over the world. They come up for prayer because they have a need. They have a request from God. This is a good thing. The scripture lets us know that God wants us to come to Him with a thankful heart and we ask for help. He wants us to bring our needs, our hurts, our pain to Him. We are told to bring everything to Him. No matter how small you think it might be, in God's eyes, it's important. So this prayer, this scripture uses the word supplication. So I'm like, well, what does that mean? So I looked it up in the dictionary, and it's defined as asking or begging for something earnestly and humbly. That's what that word means in English. The book of Philippians, where the scripture is found, was originally composed in Greek. And the word for supplication in Greek is diomai, which means to ask or implore with passion and a heartfelt desire. So the Bible identifies supplication as a distinct way of seeking God. When we ask for God for something, when we ask, it could be anything. It can be a job, it could be a spouse, it may be healing, it might be financial. It might be that you're feeling pain over something. Whatever your need is, we're told in Philippians 4 to bring everything to Him. It says, don't be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, nothing. And bring everything, everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't leave that part out, thanksgiving, because that's important to have a thankful heart. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your minds through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some different ways that God answers prayer. I'm going to focus on four different ways. The first one that I'm going to focus on is deny. Sometimes God denies a request. He just simply says no. You ever had that happen? There can be many reasons why God says no. Is our motive self-centered? Are we praying for something outside of His will? Does our prayer line up with the Word of God? What's our motive? Are we truly seeking God's will, or are we trying to bend God's will to our will? When God denies our request, we need to trust Him and accept this. Because you know what? God knows the future, He knows the past, and He knows the present way better than you or I. There could be nothing wrong with your request. It's just not for His best. So have you ever been so, disappointed that God denied your request, and then as the years go and you look back and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 3:5-6, this is my husband's scripture here. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. We hear this verse a lot, and it seems like a simple thing. But you know, it's loaded. Because first it says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It means don't lean on your own understanding. In other words, don't try to figure it out. And thirdly, it says acknowledge Him in all your ways. That is to be thankful. And believing that His way is the best. And lastly, the promise is He's going to direct your path. If God denies your request, acknowledge His faithfulness. Let Him direct your path. Let God be God over your life. The second way that God sometimes answers prayer is differently than how we prayed. It might feel like your prayer is being denied, except that the answer is there. It's just different than what you thought it would be. God always hears, however, sometimes the answer to a specific request is different than what we asked for or expected Him to do. One thing for certain, if God's answer is different than what you asked for, you can be assured that it is better. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Think back on your life when God answered your prayer differently. Aren't you thankful now that that's how He did it? Because now you can see that His plan for you was to prosper you, and it was much better for you that He answered the way that He did. We got to trust God in this. The third one that I'm going to focus on is when God delays answer. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this one because this is something I think we all deal with a lot. We pray and there's a delay. It's like, God, did you hear? God, are you going to answer? You know, there's not been a denial. There's not been a different. It's just delayed. So we live in a society where everything is very quick. Everything is fast. Our world today desires an instant fix for everything. Patience is no longer a virtue. It is lost underneath the hurriedness of getting from point A to point B and to getting things done before they even get started. Most of us, many times, do not even enjoy the moment that we're in because we're so busy worrying about the future, about tomorrow, about the next hour, that we forget to just enjoy what God's given us right now. When God delays an answer to our prayer, oftentimes we have a tendency to take it into our own hands. And what happens then is we end up settling for something that's not His perfectly best will for us. The Bible gives lots of examples about impatience. Genesis 18 talks about Abraham and Sarah. I'll just going to ad lib here. God promised them a son in their old age. They didn't believe it. Sarah laughed. She says, yeah, right. Look at me. I'm an old lady now, and I'm going to have a baby? Uh-huh, sure. She says, Abraham, you see my servant over here, Haggai? She's a lot younger than me. Look at her. She's beautiful. Go have a kid. Go marry her. Have a kid with her. And Abraham, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So that's what he did. And Ishmael was born. Ishmael was not the promised son. So about 10 years later, by now, Sarah's almost 90 years old, she has Isaac, the promised son. Well, there was some consequences, and there always is when you take things into your own hands. The consequences were, well, here's these two sons, and they didn't get along at all. It was so bad that Abraham packed up Hagar and Ishmael, and he said, you guys got to go. And that's what they did. And, you know, to this day, there's animosity between the Muslims and the Israelites, which came from those lines. You read the story about King Saul when he was anointed king. It was during this time the children of Israel had been ruled by judges. And they came to Samuel the prophet and they said, Samuel, we don't like this. Everybody around us has a king. We don't have a king. We need a king. And Samuel was like, well, you know, was, I think, pressure from the crowd because they brought Saul to him and they said, Samuel, will you anoint this guy king? He's perfect for it. He's perfect for to be a king. And so Samuel did. Saul was not the chosen that God had chosen. King David was. And there was problems. So many times when we have a prayer that's delayed, we tend to take things into our own hands and not want to wait. And always there's consequences for that. So what do we do during this time of waiting? I used to think, well, when you're waiting on the Lord, you're just sitting there waiting. And years ago, I remember Sister Janine, she blessed us with a teaching explaining that when you're waiting on the Lord, you're actually waiting on the Lord, like a waiter's waiting on you in the restaurant. You're waiting on the Lord. You're doing His will. You're asking Him daily, what do you want me to do? You know, you're waiting on the Lord. You're expecting. And you're using your time to be of service to God while you wait. You're doing what you're called to do. Isaiah 40, we all love this scripture, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We love that, but we don't like to wait. I will not say any more about that. Wait expectantly because God is doing something. He does not forget your prayer. So this, turn to Luke 1, verse 5. I'm going to read the story about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth were the parents of John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of Christ. So this is what happened. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they'd prayed for a child, and it never happened. So they just moved on, and they accepted that. They moved on with their doing their service to the Lord, doing what they're supposed to do. They just, you know, yeah, that's okay. God said no. All right. You know. They were just simply too old. It was impossible for them to have a child, so they put it behind them. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before the Lord in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias, he says to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel says, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." This is really interesting to me because I get it, you know, they decided they're not going to have a kid. But then the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias. This is miraculous. How many times does an angel appear and talk to you? I've never had that happen, you know. And Zacharias is like, "Okay, well, how do I know this is true?" And Gabriel's like, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Hello." How many times do we don't see the miracle in front of our own eyes? So he doubted. And there was consequences for his doubt. So God delayed the answer to Zacharias and Elizabeth to have a child, but he heard. He did not forget. He answered many years down the road, but he did not forget. God's timing is always perfect. John the Baptist was this promised son. He was the forerunner to Christ. If he had been born while Zacharias and Elizabeth were young, he would not have been preparing the way for the Savior of the world. So God's timing is so perfect. He's never late, not usually early, and he's always on time. Many of you in this building, or even listening online, are born-again believers because of a delayed prayer. Someone who loved you prayed. They may not have seen the answer and the result, but God heard and God did not forget. God does not forget prayer, and he has never forgotten your prayers. I think about my own life. I'm going to share a couple of examples about delayed prayer. The first one is my oldest daughter. When she was about 15, she got anorexia. And I prayed and I prayed. I wept. Here's my beautiful daughter, and she's skin and bones. I mean, her little hips are bones. You could see them. It was bad. I took her to a nutritionist. I took her to counseling, all the things that the world says to do. I did. Prayed and prayed, and I would give her to God. And then a couple days later, I could feel myself taking it back up, you know. Oh, if only she would do this, God, you know, done. Maybe if I do this, and then she'll start eating, and da-da-da, all these things. And finally, I got to this place, and I said, "God, I'm going to put her on the altar, and she's yours. If she lives or she dies, it is well with my soul." That was a hard place to get to. And shortly thereafter, I was involved in women's ministry and around the state, and I had met this woman. And we were an acquaintance. I didn't know her personally, really. But I was also doing Bible studies at my home. And she came, and she said to me, "Do you have a daughter?" And I said, "I have two of them." And she said, "Well, I had a dream about your daughter." I said, oh, really? And she said, yeah, can I pray for her? And I said, well, which one, you know? And I said, I have a blonde one and one with dark hair. And she says, it's the blonde. And I said, okay. I didn't share anything about my daughter to her. My daughter was very private. And so I went, and my daughter had just happened. She was about 19 now. She just moved back home. She was very sick. This, you know, she'd had this for like probably about 4 years. And I told her, I said, hey, there's a lady here who I don't really know, but she would like to pray for you. Is that okay? And she goes, yeah, whatever. And so I told the lady, well, you can go pray for her. And she did. And you know what she did? She prayed life. She said, I just speak life over you. She prophesied, you know, God has a plan for you. And you know, the next day, my daughter started eating. You know, I learned so much through this experience, and that's why I like to share it, because the first thing I learned was that I had to put her on the altar. I had to accept God's will, whether it was what I wanted or not. I had to accept that His will was going to be best. And then the second thing that I learned was, my goodness, do we have a creative God? You know, I had all of these plans of how He was going to do things to make her eat. You know, He didn't do none of that. He put her in the dream of someone that did not know she existed. Is that a creative God or what? You know, of course our God is created. He created the universe. But you know what? He is working creative ways in your and my life. We got to quit trying to tell Him how to do things and trust Him to do it the way He wants to do it. Amen? The second thing I want to share, this is a little bit funny because I actually got to help God. This is about my brother. My dear brother, Dennis. He was a bachelor for many, many years. And him and I would discuss it. I would say, so you think you're ever going to get married? And he would say, yep. Because he is a man of few words. If you know him, you know I'm telling the truth. He would say, yep. And I would say, well, how are you going to meet someone? You don't ever go anywhere. He would say, God will bring someone to me. And I'd go, yeah, right. He's just going to plop someone right in your lap. That's the way it's going to work, right? And he'd go, yeah. So as time went on, I was teaching women on inner healing. We called it Yellow Book because the book was yellow. And there was a woman in my group who I really liked. She had a really sweet spirit. She was beautiful. And she was single. And our church was having a potluck. So I invited my brother and I invited Carolyn. And my brother came with me and we got our food and we sat down. And at that time I told him, I said, hey, there is somebody coming. I'll point her out, and if it's okay to introduce you, I'll introduce you. He goes, right. So Carolyn comes in, and I pointed her out. I said, that's her. And he goes, nice. So that was the go-ahead. The word I just mouthed was nice. That's what he said, you know. And so anyway, then Carolyn arrived, and I told her, I said, hey, come over here and sit by me because I got to show you something. She said, okay. So she gets her food and she gets her plate and she sits it down and she goes, well, what do you got to show me? What do you got to show me? And I said, oh, wait a minute. I got to go get something. And so I took my plate and I said, I'll be back, you know. And I said to my brother, this is Carolyn. Carolyn, this is Dennis. And I left and I never came back. The rest is history. They've been married almost 30 years now. Needless to say, my brother's prayers were delayed for many years, but he never lost hope. He just trusted God. And God even allowed the impatient sister to help out because God does have a sense of humor. So we all have prayers that are delayed until God's perfect timing. So embrace the delay. Wait on Him. Don't lose hope. The answer will always bring peace. Wait expectantly, because verse 7 says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The fourth way that I want to talk about how God answers prayer is directly. That means, you know, kind of immediately. I am sure that all of you here, if you know Jesus, there have been times when you asked for wisdom. And boom, just like that, he gave it. It's because in James 1:5 it says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If you need wisdom, ask for it. Other times we're faced with a decision that has us asking God, which way should I go? We need direction. As you whenever you ask God for direction, picture yourself like standing at a crossroad, literally. And actually the scripture, Jeremiah 6:16, says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So as you stand at that crossroad and you look, you know, a lot of times we think, well, if I do this, then this is, this will happen. If I go here, then this will happen. And we weigh it. Right? That's what we do. That's not what the scripture says to do. It says to stand at the crossroads and ask for the ancient path. The ancient path is the good path, the path that God's got planned from the beginning of time for you. So ask him, what is the ancient path? What is the good way, Lord? And you know, he will show you because he's going to give you peace. Follow the road of peace. There's been many times that that I know my husband and I have stood at the crossroads. Actually, our business is called Crossroads. And we've asked God for direction. And whenever we've taken that, you know, taken it into our own hands, it hasn't been the right thing, you know. But when we stand at the crossroads and we ask for his path and the peace comes, we know that's it. So Psalm 85, verse 8 says, I will hear what the Lord God will speak, for he will speak peace. Another way God answers prayer directly is through a miracle. Miracles happen right now. Like when Jesus healed the sick, it was he healed them and they were well. Many of us have testimonies of healing that have happened in a miraculous way. It was like, boom, healing. Many of us have prayed for provision and supernaturally God provided in a miraculous way. I can think of many times in my own life when God answered in a miraculous way, and I knew it was a miracle. I knew it was God because, again, I could never have figured it out like that. Just recently, we experienced a miracle in our family. This happened at the first of this month. My granddaughter, who's 5 months pregnant, had an ultrasound, and no matter how they turned the ultrasound, they could not find baby's kidneys. And her amniotic fluid was very low, which is also a sign of no kidneys. And they told her, they said, we'll come back in a week, but, you know, we don't see kidneys. So my daughter called, and she said, can you pray? Can you put her on your prayer chain? Absolutely. And she called other people that she knew were believers and believed in the power of prayer to pray. So we prayed during the night I would pray Psalm 139 over her. I would say, Lord, you formed those kidneys in that baby. You know, make that baby made in your image. God, just, you know, prayed. Fill up her womb with the correct amount of amniotic fluid. And 1 week later, on the 9th of February, she had to go for that ultrasound, and the ultrasound showed two kidneys, and the amniotic fluid was normal. And the doctor was really astonished, and he said, what did you do? What did you do? This is way different than last week. And my daughter says, well, we prayed. And the doctor said, well, it worked. Yeah, that's a miracle. You know, don't tell me God's not doing miracles today. He is. How many times have you prayed protection over yourself? Just, Lord, be with us today. You know, just put a hedge of protection around us, and so on and so forth. And then later on, you found out, well, if I had been 3 minutes earlier or 3 minutes later, I would have been involved in this wreck right over there. You know, that's God. That is God. Your prayers are never forgotten, and they're very important to God. Pray without ceasing. As we come before God with our request, it's important to have a heart filled with thanksgiving. Because you know why? A thankful heart acknowledges that God is faithful. His ways, His plans are right and true. A thankful heart is filled with trust. There's no room for doubt in a heart of gratitude. A thankful heart acknowledges God's thankfulness. A thankful heart knows that God never fails. He hears, He answers. He's faithful, His ways best. A thankful heart does not worry because God is in control. A thankful heart knows that He will provide. He will protect. Thessalonians 5:18 says, in every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. God always hears, no matter how many times we read about it. I mean, we can read about it many, many times that He hears. If you go through the Bible and you just, and God heard their prayer, and God heard their prayer, and God heard their prayer. There are lots of examples. So no matter how insignificant you think you are, His idea of you is way different, because He believes and He says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knit you together in your mother's womb. He made you who you are. He designed you. He has a plan to prosper you. He has a plan to give you a life full of blessings and promises. You were made in the image of God. There is nothing, absolutely nothing about you that God does not have interest in. Remember that. Because that scripture says, be anxious for nothing, and in everything, let your requests be known, made known to God. So as we lay our requests before Him with a thankful heart, God promises peace. A peace that passes all understanding. A peace that is the result of trusting in God's answer. Whether our answer is denied, different, delayed, or direct. Always remember, God has not forgotten your prayers. Philippians 4:6-8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So today, as we come before God with prayer and supplication, I want us to all do that in our heart. I ask you, what is on your heart? What are you anxious about? What are you seeking God for? Are you willing to trust His answer? Are you willing to wait? Are you thankful? Are you willing to change directions if He tells you to? Is it okay with you if He denies your requests? Do you trust Him? Do you really believe that He knows what's best? Prayer changes things. I'm going to have Mike play a song. This song is very simple. And we're going to end with this. Is what I'd like for you to do is to just take a few minutes while this is being played and let your requests be made known to God. You know, don't feel like you need to pray eloquently. You know, one of the most powerful prayers that's ever been prayed over me was when someone came up to me. Bonnie and I were at a conference in one of the Carolinas, and someone came up to me and laid hands on me and didn't say a word. One of the most powerful prayers. Don't ever feel like your prayers are not good enough. Because you know what? God knows what's in your heart. Our God is a God of simplicity. He's not a God of neon lights. I mean, Jesus was born in a stable, in a barn. Our God always takes the simple to confuse the wise. That's one of the reasons I'm so excited about this revival in Asbury. He's taken the simple things, and people who have all the technical things and the lights and all this, that's not what He chose. He chose simple. So just take a few moments and close your eyes. Tell God what your request. And during that time, if you feel like you do want prayer, you're welcome to come up for prayer too. But I encourage you all where you're sitting, whether you want to kneel at your seat, whatever you want to do, to just come before Him with your request right now.